I think I'm getting sick.
Oh no. Don't tell me you have a virus.
I think I might have a virus.
Don't let me pick that shit up. Or else
we all might die. I was using that mic before you came over.
Oh, great. Did you lick it?
Yes.
Hey guys, Mickey's not really sick. He's just kidding.
Butt licked it.
He's what? He's so good at improv. That's what he was doing just now. He's improvising that he was sick.
Oh my God.
So he was doing that because today's theme is one final virus movie. Today is October 27th. Welcome, y'all.
Welcome, y'all.
How's it going? Y'all feeling good and healthy today? Because we're about to make you feel real sick and sad. Yeah, that's right.
All right.
What?
The last thing you said.
Make you feel sick and sad. Uh-huh. Hey, y'all. Is it my turn or your turn to go first?
It's your turn.
Okay. I just realized I really wish it was October 28th. Because I picked
what?
28 days later.
I told you.
We did it.
I told you.
I knew it. When you were like, we're definitely gonna pick one of these. I said there's probably one, and it was this one that I figured it would be it.
Oh, I thought it was.
This was the one I thought.
I think so too. I think I was thinking this one.
I don't think you're gonna pick any of the other movies that I picked.
See, it happened. I knew it was going to happen.
I definitely know you're not.
But I told you, right? I have a feeling. I was more optimistic. Man. You are like, no, I don't think so.
Well, I like when we pick two different movies, but maybe you'll be more engaged to what I have to say about this one now that it's ours.
You're so stupid. Why do you think I'm not listening when you're talking? Because I'm not making eye contact.
I mean, because sometimes you'll be like, or what about this? And I'm like, that's what I just said, but okay.
A lot of times I look up the things that you say. Like,
Yeah. You're right. You're cool. Hey, what is this? Bottle opener.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I've never seen this.
I've had it.
That's fun. What is that called?
It's a kabuki mask.
Oh. Yeah, okay, cool. I love it. It's a bottle opener. It's a big bottle opener. It almost looks like a coaster, but the mouth of the mask is a bottle opener. I love it. Okay, so we both picked 28 Days Later. I should have earlier been like, let's move virus to the 28th. All right. So what are we going to do?
Let's talk about why we like it.
Oh God. Well, I had to put look, when I was writing all the subgenre lists down,
mostly zombie movies anyways.
What is?
Like when you look up like a virus horror movie, most of them are zombie movies.
I didn't even look up like what else popped up because I just knew I was going to pick this one. Look, I'm not going to lie to you. If there was one subgenre that I put on the list so that I could have a place to put this movie, I put virus on here because I already had another, when we do zombie on October 31st on Halloween, I already had another film for that. So I had to do this. And I have had a couple zombie movies. You already said
Train to Busan, so you're not using that.
I had Train to Busan for my favorite Korean.
Let me cross that out. No, I'm kidding.
You can do that again if you want, but it's better if you pick a new one. But anyway, so virus, 28 Days Later, this, I remember the movie theater. I remember what friends I was with.
Who?
I was with Amber and Courtney, and I was in the Hoffman that you and I go to sometimes in Alexandria.
Hoffman movie theater was up by then?
Yeah. Oh. And
2002?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. It was like a big deal for us to like drive to Alexandria and not go to the Waldorf movie theater. So it was a big deal. And then we went and visited a friend in Alexandria afterwards. Yeah. I remember the whole day. I remember the feeling that I had watching this movie.
And then when you watched it, were you like, who shot this movie with a video camcorder?
What?
Oh, the quality of it. You remember? It was like one of the first movies that was like a feature film that was shot digitally at the time.
Oh.
And digital cameras at the time was like shite.
Big, yeah.
Like that was shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember it looking good, but I guess maybe not.
Everybody watch it again.
Because I actually have on here, like one of the things I love about it is the kind of the beautiful, some of the beautiful scenes in it and stuff. But maybe it's just, maybe I'm remembering just the subject matter, but not the actual quality itself. Yeah. Anyway. Well, so just in case you have no idea about one of the best zombie films ever, it's a 2002, as Minky said, British. It's a British film, mm-hmm. Post-apocalyptic horror film directed by Danny Boyle.
The Danny Boyle.
Yeah. And in my opinion, it like, it made zombie film, it gave like zombie films a resurgence that hadn't been around in a long time.
That's right.
It kind of reignited the passion for zombies.
Reintroduced. Running zombies to the general audience.
Yep. So do you want to like talk about it a little bit? What do you want?
Yeah, we can talk about it. You know who wrote this film?
Who wrote it?
Alex Garland, Ex Machina, and who is wrote and directed Ex Machina, and who's also writing the new sci-fi movie that's coming out.
And when he wrote this, he said to the producer that he had an idea for the movie about literally running zombies. Because I remember watching this, and all of my being was mad that, because I'm like, zombies can't fucking run. They're dead. Like, they can't run. But this movie did it oh so well. Unlike the remake of Dawn of the Dead, if you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That one was terrible. Like, that was terrible. The remake of Dawn of the Dead.
Okay. I guess we're going to have a conversation off.
Oh, really? Well, because they run so fast and they're so strong and powerful in that movie. That's my point. That was my only problem. They were really strong.
Who cares?
Dead people are not that strong.
What? What kind of rules are these?
That's the rules.
Why are you setting these boundaries?
There are always rules to horror films.
You don't get to set those boundaries.
if there is a dead body that can rise from the grave and like overpower a person.
What type of logic are you putting? They're zombies. I can't wrap my mind around
this.
They
were like superhuman. Like, in my mind, I'm like, you're anti-human. You're not like superhuman. Okay.
Let's talk about 28 days.
All right, you're fine. Okay. Well, whatever. So he was like, I want to make a movie about running zombies. Yeah. So it's speaking of who wrote it, and he sent it to the producer, who I'm forgetting who that was at the moment. And they went through several rounds of drafts until they landed on it. And I'm so glad they landed on it, because I love it.
Yeah.
So good. I mean, obviously, it's on our list.
Good
old Danny boy.
Yeah. Like, I mean, he is amazing. He's one of those directors who don't stay in a certain specific, like, genre. Yeah.
Good for him. Yeah. He can horror, knock it.
Yeah. Comedy, drama. I mean, he's like, he's a pure, like, director, right? I don't remember in detail. Like, who I went to see this movie with, like, you did.
Oh my God, I remember everything.
I do remember the reason I went to see it was like, it was like one of the first movies, again, feature film that was going to be, it was shot in digital, it was like a digital filmmaking and all this other stuff that was they were talking about this movie. And that's why I wanted to see it. And I was so, it was so good.
Yeah.
It was,
by the way, I can't even believe I got my friend Courtney to come with me, because she won't, we were away on holiday and in Myrtle Beach, and we saw a preview for Gerald's Game.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a Stephen King story about a woman who gets tied to a bed before they have sex, and then the husband has a heart attack and dies. So she's like trapped to the bed. She's like, oh my God, I will never watch that. It's so scary. I was like, you watched 28 Days Later with me, but anyway, go ahead.
But I think this sort of movie made Cillian Murphy like famous for a while, right?
That's the guy who played Scarecrow, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. And I remember the opening scene where they like emptied out the streets of London.
Yeah.
You remember that?
They were filming in the morning, and
this is crazy. Like,
they would have like 45 minutes where they could clear huge, you know, like city blocks or whatever to do shots for this movie.
But they dirtied it up too.
Yeah.
Remember? And he was like walking through them. Yeah. And it's eerie because it's like completely empty.
Yeah.
Very much like, remember the, what's that Tom Cruise movie? Vanilla Sky. Wasn't it empty in the beginning as well?
Mm-hmm.
Like the New York City.
Yeah.
It was like that. And I remember thinking, I was like, how did they do that? It's crazy.
I know. Movie magic. So if you don't know the story, the reason why it's a virus movie, all right, the reason why, I mean, okay, a lot of zombie films as we know it are the premise is something along the lines of, when there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk the earth, or like,
that's literally you're picking up from.
Well, I'm just saying, like,
the dead poster.
No. That was how like Dawn of the Dead. That's how they explain the Dawn of the Dead, which is the whole George Romero zombie. Like, there's no more room, so now they're gonna walk the earth. A lot of other people have kind of picked that up, or the dead come back because of some radioactive thing, or the dead come back because they just have to eat. Who the fuck knows? This group of dead people, they come back because Well, they come, I'm sorry, they don't rise from the grave.
They do not.
These are people that are infected with a rage virus. And the beginning of the movie starts with basically, like, for lack of better words, a couple PETA, like they're animal rights activists. And they break into a lab to release chimpanzees that are being, you know, tested on. And there's a, like a lab person who's warning, like, don't do it. Don't let them out. They're like, please, please. Well, they don't listen, of course. And when they open up the cage, the little chimp seems so sweet, but then it runs forward and attacks one of the PETA people. And I'm saying PETA, it's probably not, but you know what I'm saying. And they've all basically been infected with a highly contagious rage-inducing virus. And what I remember from the movie, it was like a kick to the gut. Because what they were showing these poor chimpanzees was basically real life news. All right. They were showing them wartime. They were showing them real footage of human on human murder, mayhem, destruction. And it's a little bit of, like I said, it was kind of just a wake up call for me at whatever age I was. I was like, oh my gosh, you know, like when war and violence is going on, does it spread? Like, is that in itself a virus? So it's such an interesting storyline.
I mean, this movie influenced a lot of the resurgence of zombie movies as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just the idea that basically people can be bad because there's other people that are bad and it's spread on and on and on. When you're attacked in this movie, you got like 10 to 20 seconds before you turn. So you don't have like a long, slow going process.
Remember when the father gets the blood?
The blood in his eye from the, there's a bird pecking at a body like high above him. And he looks up.
Impaled or something, right?
Yeah. The body, yeah. And he looks up and just one drop of blood. It was a really cool scene. Just drips in his eye from the dead body. And it takes him really quick. And it's a very sad scene because he's part of the characters that are developed, and he's got this young daughter that he's trying so desperately to protect, and they, against kind of their original wishes, they do leave their safe haven to come with our other main characters to go try to find this safer place, which is a military mansion or something like that. It's a mansion where all these military guys are camped out at, and they're putting out like a radio signal saying salvation is here, come here. And he's turning and he knows he's turning. So he's trying to tell them to get the fuck away before he goes. And it starts to, he's about to attack his own daughter. But anyway, there's a lot of really amazing scenes. There's like a really wonderfully great, lively scene where they're shopping through a grocery store, which, you know, every kind of apocalyptic movie has to have. It's like fun music and everything, but then everything else is so dark. So it's really interesting, this contrast of like happy moments with really dark moments. There's one of the most terrifying scenes I've ever seen.
What, in the tunnel?
The tunnel.
Yeah.
That tunnel, man. You never want to be in a tunnel trying to change a flat tire or whatever it was that they were doing.
The rats are running away.
The rats are running and you're like, they're running towards them and they're like, uh-oh, what are they running from? And
that was a fun moment.
It was a
like,
fun moment.
What is that? Like, what are they running away from?
And it's just a million zombies
and
coming
out. I feel like the character in Walking Dead, what's the character with two swords?
Two swords?
Yeah, in Walking Dead.
Michonne?
Yes,
or just
Michonne.
The one?
Michonne,
she's got one. Yeah, but
What?
So she had two zombies behind her.
Michonne was like, inspired by Naomi Harris's character.
Yeah.
In 28 Days Later.
Yeah, I can see that. So, and the character he's referring to, she's just this badass female that, let's also go back to the fact that Robert Kirkman had to have been influenced by this film, right?
Yeah.
Because with The Walking Dead, with Rick Grimes waking up in a hospital. And
just like
in 28 Days Later. So in 28 Days Later, a guy wakes up. He was like a bike messenger that got hit on his bike. And so he's been in the hospital for God knows how. Well, 28 days.
Yeah.
So he wakes up. I don't know how long he was but he wakes up 28 days after the virus breaks out, which is why it's called 28 Days Later.
What's really great about that premise is that it immediately puts us in the same shoes as the character. Right?
Yeah.
We have no idea what the hell is going on.
Yeah,
right?
So it's great.
So we're finding out.
That's the very beginning of the movie, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what's so good about storytelling, right? Because now we're finding about everything the characters is finding out, like together.
Yeah.
We're discovering it together.
And same as
being surprised together, being horrified.
Which I think honestly I think that's why people fall in love who maybe don't know 20 Days Later. That's why they fell in love with Walking Dead with Rick, like waking up the same way, like just fumbling around, stumbling around, somehow not getting killed with the kind of ignorance. And
Walking Dead is a joke now, though.
Well, let's just keep it to the storyline. But, you know, so basically he wakes up and he sees, like, he goes and he's trying to talk to people that he thinks are people. And then he realizes, and it's like he almost gets attacked like a bunch of times when he meets this woman.
Yeah.
And the woman's the friend of hers. Mm-hmm. And these two are like killing, you know, zombies left and right. Yeah. And they luckily take him under their wing. And the guy, he winds up getting bit and she kills him very quickly. And she's like, don't think I won't do this to you in a heartbeat too. Like, you turn really fucking fast. Yeah. So by the way, bye. Anyway, the two of them become our main characters, and they then have to take on, as I said, that daughter, the little girl. And again, we see the lowest of lows of humans in times like this, where you think that all of our main characters are going to the military to find refuge and safety. And really what's happening is there's this huge group of military men that are starting to just fall really only in less than a month, by the way. Can we just remind ourselves it's only 28 days after the virus breaks out? And these fucking dudes are already so scared that there's not going to be enough women in the world, that they need some hope for the future, that they basically are only calling people to their camp. They do not have salvation. They do not have safety. They just want to fucking rape women and repopulate the earth. Like, it's so scary. There's a really terrible scene where, what's her name? Selena is trying to prep the young girl. Like, she gives her drugs so that she doesn't feel it, essentially. Luckily, I think they escape. But that's when, like, the climax happens and all these, like, turn of events happen. And it's just such a, that's a thrill ride. Like, that, from there forward, it's just like, and I remember the soundtrack being awesome. It's like that build, that music just kind of builds on itself. And it makes you feel anxious. Huh. It's like a, you'll have to Google it when we're done, but I can hear it in my head. I'm just not going to try to like do it with my mouth. But yeah. Anyway, it's a great movie and yeah. Terrifying. And
We finally agreed on something. Movie. So funny.
How many episodes have we done where we haven't agreed? And today we agree.
Yeah. So 28 Days Later.
It's so good.
Versus 28 Days Later.
And can I just tell you?
Did you watch 28 Weeks?
Yes, and 28 Weeks Later, don't ever watch it. Just pretend like it was never made.
Oh, stop.
No, I mean it.
It's okay.
No, it's terrible. Also love how 28 Days Later ends. So like, let's just.
There's two alternate endings as well.
I did not watch those. I love how this one ends.
Interesting. You didn't watch those or the other endings? Uh-uh.
But so just let it be and don't ever watch 28 Weeks Later. And don't be confused with the Sandra Bullock movie.
There's going to be a third one. You know that, right?
No, I didn't. Yeah. What is it, 28 months later?
Yeah, it's apparently 28 something later.
Oh, for fuck's
sake.
Just let things be, 28
years. But apparently it's Danny Boyle that's doing it.
It doesn't matter. Did Danny Boyle do 28 Weeks Later?
No.
Because that was not good.
He probably produced it, maybe.
All right, guys. Okay. Go have a zombie-rific day.
Ooh. It's like a cheap Halloween card. Bye.